Liz Stahl, Extension Educator in Crops.
Liz, as farmers prepare to manage weeds in 2018, a year ago there was a lot of concern about dicamba drift, and so we've seen some more restrictions. But as you talk to growers about the use of any herbicide, but specifically with the dicamba technology, what are some things that you're really trying to impress upon them as farmers get going in the field?
Well, you know, especially with these products, they're, you know, you always have to read the label no matter what, or be familiar with what's on the label, because there's going to be certain restrictions on any particular product. Some have more than others. Obviously, if you're familiar with dicamba newer products, they're, you know, they're pretty detailed, you know, restrictions that have come out on these products. And the thing is, you know, with the changes just between the 2 years here, between, you know, last year and this year, you know, people just have to really, really be aware of what those are, really encouraging people to take a look at that and be realistic, too, as to how likely they're going to be able to meet all those restrictions, you know, as we are looking at a delayed planting time this year and, you know, what's our likelihood in a normal year to meet all these restrictions, like on wind speed. That's a big one. I think that's going to be one of the biggest players here in southwestern Minnesota. But now when we're looking at a restricted planting time, you know, what's your payoff to trying to make that? What's versus making other applications, and what's the likelihood you're going to make that? So there's a lot of things to be looking at as we look forward to the planting season.
For Minnesota specifically, a couple of cutoffs. You have the temperature cutoff, and then you also have the date cutoff of June 20th. And as you mentioned, planting is delayed, and so this growing season might unfold in a kind of rapid fashion where everybody's trying to play catch up. And I know that the Department of Agriculture has talked about maybe having or allowing some flexibility on that cutoff date dependent upon conditions. And maybe this year will be one of those years. But farmers are probably looking at that date and looking at weeds that are going to be emerging later than usual and getting in the field to plant later than usual. And it's a little bit of an added stressor, I would think.
Well, that's right. And one thing you really got to look at, though, with that June 20th cutoff, you know, soybeans, of course, they respond to day length or night length, depending how you want to look at that. And they'll start flowering about the same time, regardless of when you really planted them, typically. So, you know, there is a restriction on the label that you can apply the dicamba formulations through R1. But once you hit R2, so that would be when you have a fully developed flower on like the two uppermost nodes of the soybean, those applications have to cut off anyway. And this June 20th cutoff, it's pretty close to that time anyway. So the thing is, even if, you know, and I'm not going to say anything about, you know, changing that date. I don't know anything about that right now. But I guess if that's something people are looking at, you know, there's still just the physiology of the soybean. It's going to flower according to day length or night length, and then it's going to move on into those reproductive stages. So, you know, just the federal label itself, that's going to cut off applications, because we know once soybeans enter that reproductive stage, you know, a non-tolerant soybean, they're just extremely sensitive, and that sensitivity is even worse, you know, once they hit into that reproductive stages. That's where we can really see, you know, some potential for some, you know, significant yield impacts if they were drifted on a non-tolerant soybean.
You mentioned wind speed and how that could be an issue for Minnesota farmers this year. And you think back to the finger pointing of a year ago, and was it the product's fault? Was it the applicator's fault? And the back and forth there. But regardless of where you stand on that, maximizing your time when spraying and making sure that you're doing everything you can to reduce and eliminate drift, that's really got to be the focal point, right?
Well, that's right, and it is really a challenge. Again, now the labels changed this year with the minimum wind speed for application being 3 miles an hour, and then the maximum being 10 miles an hour. And, you know, one of my counterparts, Jared Goplin, he's an extension educator out of Morris, ran some analysis of, you know, the last 20 years of weather data. And, boy, you look at, for example, in southwestern Minnesota again, we're in the spot where you have the smallest hours that you could actually meet those wind speed requirements, plus applying, you know, only from sunrise to sunset, and the temperature restrictions as well, you know, not applying, making applications above 85 degrees. So, you know, you're restricted as it is. Then throw in the unknown factor about, okay, you know, if there's rain predicted within 24 hours, you know, you're not supposed to make an application either, plus, you know, are the field conditions wet? So there's a lot of factors that come into play, and you can just see that window when you can window of opportunity to make those applications. It's pretty tight.
Liz, what was your exposure like to farmers throughout the winter and in all the meetings that took place? And I talked to some seed companies that indicated that some of their orders, especially for soybeans, were coming in late, and it was because a lot of farmers weren't sure which dicamba technology they were going to go with in 2018. Was that something that you heard a lot from growers leading up to this spring?
Well, I heard, you know, there's a lot of interest in the technology, even though we know we had issues. And again, our area was kind of a hot spot for issues. There's still demand for the product as well. You know, we're dealing with a lot of herbicide-resistant weeds. Water hemp's a biggie. You know, it's got resistance to multiple sites of action in a lot of fields. So people are looking at different tools, and this is one of the potential tools that they could use. So there is definitely interest. But, you know, again, you've got to be, you know, nobody wants to be having drift issues either and impacting their neighbors' fields. So, again, it's just one of those tools in the toolbox. I know some people are looking at just planting the soybeans, too, just to help prevent issues of drift, which, you know, it's not something you necessarily want to recommend that either. You know, a person should be able to plant whatever beans they want to plant and what best fits their field. But I know there's been talk of that as well. But, you know, it is one of those tools in the toolbox. One of the key tools, I think, you know, that we've really been promoting is making sure you get a residual pre-emergence herbicide out there. That's just critical for effective control of water hemp. And that's a key part of, you know, the dicamba-tolerant technologies as well, same as Roundup Ready and Liberty Link 2. So that's a really key piece, and I hope, you know, especially with this year, even when we, you know, we are having some, you know, significant challenges to get out in the field, get things started this year, that's something I surely hope, you know, people are able to get that out in their system, because that is just going to help start everything out on a good foundation from the start.
Liz, anything else about the use of dicamba technology in 2018 that you want to make sure we talk about today?
Well, I just think, again, you know, it is one of those tools, and if you're not able to meet the restrictions, because, you know, we don't want to be like, oh, there's all these tough restrictions, so hard to meet, you know, it is just things you want to be realistic and looking at what you likely can do, what you hope you can do, but have a plan B or a plan C figured out as well, just in case you aren't able to make, you know, all the restrictions, like, again, this wind speed and the application window. So just have some alternative plans out there, and also, you know, do as much legwork as you can beforehand, you know, finding out where those sensitive crops are, you know, making sure your app works for, you know, detecting temperature inversions, for example, if that's what you plan to use. You know, again, doing all that legwork as much as you can before you get into the heat of the season, where you just want everything to work as well as it can. So I guess that would be some of the key things to be looking ahead to as we look ahead to the planting season.